Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon. I got Kyle and Brett with me today, and it's been a couple weeks since we've recorded, so we're excited to get back on with everybody.
Back in the saddle, Damon.
I know, I feel a little bit rusty since it's been a few weeks, but yeah, looking ready to go, especially because we're coming off of this multi-generational service where Brett gave an awesome message on patience, and so we wanted to dive right in. And, you know, I'm excited to have Brett on here, too, so he can share a little bit more about his message.
Is that my cue?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, well, we can toss it over to you. So, Brett, like, what was it like leading up to the message and your prep, and how did it go? How were you tested in patience? Because I know you were sharing with me a little bit the week before, just some things that you felt like, yeah, I'm wrestling with it personally while I'm preparing for the message.
Yeah, so for some time now, I knew that I would be, or I had the opportunity to share, and going with the fruit of the Spirit and kind of picking one of the attributes. Mm-hmm. I was praying over it maybe a couple months ago, and only two of them kind of were highlighted to me. It felt like I was supposed to share about. And so I was like, I don't know which one, but let me ask my wife. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, hey, just randomly, if I had to speak on one of these, which one would it be? And don't pick one of the first three.
Yeah.
She's like, for some reason, I think you're supposed to speak on patience or self-control. And I was like, dang it. Because those are the two ones that were highlighted to me. So it's affirmation. And we even joke about, right, like, don't pray for patience. So I was like, I think I'm supposed to speak on patience. But then kind of like outwardly expressing, like, this is what I'm going to speak on. Yeah. I was like, I'm going to be tossed into all these situations where I require patience.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, fast forward till maybe a week out from when I'm speaking, I'm kind of like thinking, wow, like nothing too crazy happened. You know, certain things were all good. And
at that point, you had a lot of your message pretty much prepared, right?
Yeah, I had a game plan of already what I was going to be talking about and where I was going to take it. And then I was like kind of thinking to myself, oh, maybe I passed all the quote-unquote tests. Like, oh, maybe I handled my patients really well.
Yeah.
And then it was really nice. I got to go to Seattle to visit my parents. And, you know, we were excited and we got to go. And it was really fun. But during that weekend, I feel like a lot of things changed. Mm-hmm. You know, I was away from work and stuff happened. And so that kind of set us back. And certain things needed to be done to stay on timelines to finish things. And coming back, I knew like, oh man, I'm going to be like slammed and I'm going to have to just jump back straight into it. And then, you know, I had some good conversations with my parents and my wife. And so then it started making me think about my message and I was like, okay. And then when we got back, you know, there was just things. And even my wife, like, she was like, I feel like the patience thing, like it's starting to test me now. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and then I went back to work and certain things. And I was like, oh, okay, I feel it too. Mm. And so it hit the week leading up to it. And it was weird because in my prep, normally I'm like, probably because of my anxiety, I'm more like, okay, I need to get ahead of it and mm-hmm. work on it and be prepared. But I was telling her, for some reason, I don't feel motivated to write a lot of stuff down right now. Mm. And this was Monday, the week of mm-hmm. this past week. Mm-hmm. And Tuesday came around, I'm like, I just don't feel like, mm-hmm. I even told Damon, like, for some reason, I don't feel like motivated to write. Normally, I'm excited and I'm mm-hmm. like for the retreat one, I had it all and I was just like, I was able to go over it and just mm-hmm. look at it and sit with it and make edits and stuff. But for this one, I was like, I just don't feel that extra push to like mm-hmm. want to get my thoughts out and organize it. And Brittany's like, well, you need to. And so I did, and I did it mainly on Friday and Saturday. And I think part of it was my focus and a lot of my mental capacity was just this strong desire that it would be a good experience for the Forge. Mm-hmm. And so I think there was a part of me that was like, I can't really do anything about that until like at the latest Sunday morning when I get to meet with them. Mm-hmm. And so I think there was a part of me that was like, not that it doesn't matter how well I do, but like, I want to make sure that the things that they came up with and planned and just, because there's just so many variables where, especially in a multi-gen service, like you don't exactly know. I didn't know how many kids there were going to be there. I didn't know how many Forge kids, you know, so it was kind of like, okay, I got to just be adaptable. And so I think there's a part of me that was just like, okay, I need to be ready to just go with the flow and kind of like piece it together if needed. And so I think that's why maybe subconsciously I didn't want to try to have it like set. And then it feel like, oh crap, now it's not going to work, or yeah, now I'm going to have to change it. And so actually on Saturday, I had like this like migraine headache for like the whole day. And so I didn't type out my thing until Saturday night. And I was just praying that, okay, I just hope that tomorrow I don't have a headache and like it'll be fine. And then Sunday came around and you know, I felt like it was really good, and I'm really proud of the Forge. And I told them whether the service went well or not, I was already proud of them. I just brought them together before we started, and I told them, like, are any of you guys nervous? And some of them are like, and I was like, well, I'm nervous. And I said, but you know what? Like, no matter if we make mistakes, no matter if we speak, you know, well, or you feel like, I don't know if I said the right thing, or if we mess up, if the mic goes out, whatever, I said that at this point, it doesn't matter. I'm just proud of you guys and the ways that you've helped me and the ways you stepped up and are willing to do this. And I know that God is proud and that there will be an impact regardless. And so I just said, yeah, well, we'll just make the most of it and go with the flow, and whatever happens, happens. But yeah, just that I was thankful and I was proud of them. And so I hope that they were able to see the impact and the time and the effort that they put into it, how it was able to play out, and like their voice, the ways that they hear God, the things that we're trying to learn in class and do, like they actually matter. I hope that they were able to take that away from that. And yeah, so
I'm sure they were.
Yeah. And so it's interesting because I feel like I didn't do, well, one, I feel like I didn't speak as clearly or as fluidly as I normally do. And I was talking to a couple of people and they said, well, that's also an example that you can share with the kids. Like, you didn't feel like, oh, this was the best thing I've done. But then to hear the response from people afterwards, it's like, God still uses it. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't matter that I was like, dang, I listened to some of it. I was like, I said the word right way too many times. I was like, I almost couldn't listen to it because I told Brittany, I was like, this is ridiculous. I was like, I didn't say but I just said right. I was just like, was I fishing for affirmation the whole time?
I was about to lean over to Damon and say, I think we should get a right counter going. I was just like, we've had that on the podcast, like, right?
Oh my gosh, I don't even remember saying it.
I don't even say need anymore.
You just said it.
Yeah, I was like, I don't even remember saying it. It just would come out. And so taking that perspective and then reflecting back on just the handful of people that came up and shared, whether it was like, oh, wow, we were really proud of the Forge, or, hey, you know, like our family's going through something right now. And the words, yeah, I really feel like God's using it like a good reminder, or like, oh, yeah, that's something we need to hold on to. Like, it's like, okay, praise God, you know, he's the one in control using it. And so I got to be about it in front of the Forge. Like, hey, I told you guys it didn't matter if it was perfect or if it sounded well, but yeah, God honors it. And so
it's awesome. Yeah. I mean, just for clarification for our listeners, the Forge, that's our middle school group that Brett leads. So they were heavily involved. And so in the service. And so I think, honestly, that was part of your journey of patience, because you started that with them like a month before,
mm-hmm.
around like, maybe.
So right? Hands-on, the past two Sundays, they've been hands-on working on stuff in class. Right. And we've been talking about stuff.
But theoretically, too, you've brought the concept even mm-hmm. weeks before that. They mm-hmm. just had to start planning and things. So that in itself takes a lot of patience, even to just walk them through that process, mm-hmm. especially when it's only on Sundays, because it's a slow journey to get to where you want them to go. But mm-hmm. you have to kind of just like, okay, they're middle schoolers. They're only going to be able to process this mm-hmm. much at a time. Mm-hmm. They're only going to, so even you doing that was a journey of patience for you as a leader, because mm-hmm. it's easier for you just to, I'll just do it myself. It's faster. It's quicker. I can get to where I need to go.
Mm-hmm.
But because you went that way, you developed, you know, other characteristics in them, but for you as a leader, you had to like step into a role with much more patience. Mm. I saw that from the outside, at least.
Mm.
And I think patience and perseverance go hand in hand too, because yeah. even taking yep. it further back with, you know, you had shared on Sunday that you had asked the Forge if they wanted to pray.
Yeah.
And they said, yes, we're supposed to do this. Right. And if you had asked them that a year before, they would have all been no. But
right.
you already given them opportunities, multiple opportunities to pray for people in service. So now where they're saying, yeah, we want to do that. Right. Mm-hmm. And so that takes patience and perseverance, because you could have just given up after the first time where they're like, oh, that's hard. I don't want to do that again. And right. You could have just given up on that, but you were persistent and you're patient with them. And now they're saying, yeah, we want to do that. And I heard some people share with me that, you know, their prayers were really well received,
mm-hmm.
you know, from the congregation. So it was cool.
Yeah, so clarification too, if you weren't there, that they actually did ministry time after the message. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so why don't you explain like what basically the question, the way you did, you didn't tell them they had to do it
mm-hmm.
like before service, but I thought even the way you did it, and then like, go ahead and share it. Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, after I kept some of the basis of my message, because some of it was linked to what they were doing. So I was like, I don't want to just completely change it and then tell right. them, okay, everything's different.
Right.
But I really felt like the sentiment, especially towards the end, was like, oh, this is, as much as it's a multi-generational service, I'm kind of taking it to a place where it can be kind of heavy mm-hmm. or it can be a very tough subject or a personal mm-hmm. just where people are in the seasons that they're in, like where it could be difficult to right. hear or to just even want to listen, or, I mean, nobody really likes to deal with patients. Mm-hmm. And so when I went through the rundown with them, how service was going to go, you know, kind of going over the timeline of like, this is probably when I'm going to ask you to come up just so you're paying attention. This is what you guys can be doing at this point, all of that. At the end, I said, what do you guys think? And they're like, oh, okay, that sounds pretty good. Like, okay, yeah. And some of them had questions. And then I was like, I was preparing. I felt like this could be difficult for some people in the seasons that they're in. And so I said, do you think that it would be good for there to be prayer time? And they're like, yeah, it'd probably be good. I was like, well, do you think it'd be good if like we prayed for them? I said, or would you want me to ask like Magnetic or the prayer team to do it? And they're like, and I could see some of them were like kind of like smirking, like knowing like it's an opportunity, but they're not sure. And I was like, well, I don't want you guys to feel like you have to do it, but I just felt because of the like magnitude of the message. And I was like, you guys have been learning it the past 2 weeks. You guys have helped, mm-hmm. you know, like plan and come up with stuff, like would you guys want to do it? And I said, or if not, I can ask somebody else. And they're like, well, since the kids are going to be in there, like they actually brought up, could we do it like another time? I was like, oh, what do you mean? They're like, well, like what if there's another service where the kids aren't in there, then we can do it. I was like, I think that's a possibility, but I said, coming after the message, I was like, I think we could still make it work if you guys felt like we were supposed to pray. And, you know, some of them were like, you know, looking at each other, like, what do you think? And I thought it was really cool because, and I'll give him a shout out, Cameron. He actually said, yeah, I'll do it.
Mm.
And then after he said that, I think all the other kids were like, oh, okay. Yeah. Mm. Like it was kind of like that first person to say, I could do it. Yeah. And everybody else is like, okay, then we're in two.
Yeah, yeah.
And so after that, it was like, all right. And so then I just went up and I asked, you know, Damon or different people, like, okay, this is kind of like, I didn't plan this. This is just holding it loosely, asking them, giving them opportunity. And I was like, I feel like we're supposed to do it. So how do we make it work? And there's, you know, Damon suggested, well, maybe you just have them on the steps on the side. So even if there's a lot of kids in the middle and the front, like, they're not going to get in the way. So I was like, all right. So I went back to them. I said, this is how we're going to do it. If people come up to pray for you, you know, because sometimes they get nervous, like, what am I supposed to say? Mm-hmm. I said, they're going to come up to you with a situation where they need patience. Mm-hmm. And so just, you could simply just pray that God meets them in their, or gives them the patience that they need or helps them. They're like, okay, okay. So then it's like, all right, here we go. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, the feedback I got from some people, some of it wasn't, there were some where it was like, oh yeah, what they prayed was, you know, exactly what I needed to hear, or like, it was just so encouraging to hear them. And other people could just, they said they just got this like sense of empathy, or just like, there was just this presence or just the spirit that they felt resonated with them. And it wasn't even so much like, oh, I was thinking of this word and then they said this word, you know, it was even more just like their heart to do it was something that was, felt and received. And so, yeah, I can't wait to talk to them and kind of debrief with them this next Sunday and then really continue to, encourage and affirm and empower them in the things that they have stepped into.
Yeah.
And I think Damon's point of taking a look back even from like a year ago and showing them like, you guys think that like maybe this is normal or you guys are used to it now, but like, look how far you guys have come. And so like just wanting to continue to speak life into them and empower them so that they can continue to move forward.
Yeah. I think looking at it now, like, you know, some days later, to me, I saw like a convergence of different fruit of the spirit too.
Mm.
So your message is on patience. And I think for them, they had to exhibit patience too. Like in between, like, oh, there's nobody come up here yet. Oh, you can start getting nervous. No, it's okay. I felt like they were patient, but I felt that there was a struggle, right? There's a tension, but I felt like there was a sense of peace, mm-hmm. that there was like faithfulness. Like kind of like what Cameron said, like, this, we're good, let's do it. And mm-hmm. it's like that's part of their calling. So them stepping into these different areas, I felt like, oh yeah, that's part of this journey that they're on at that age. Mm-hmm. It's making their faith more real. But I felt like it's more than just one fruit. It's like they're starting to exhibit multiple fruit at one time. Mm-hmm. And then I think that's what people, I personally felt that when I went up to get prayed for. I felt like, and not even just the words of the fruit of the spirit, but there was like confidence, there was there's a foundation, like the words they prayed, there's different things, but I think you could also tie those in with different fruit as well. But I felt like, yeah, there's maturity happening there. Mm. That's the cool part.
Mm. Don't want to call you out, Kyle, but
you
when,
will.
When we talk about fruit of the spirit, one of the things that we need to remember is that there's one fruit, different characteristics, yes, right? They're not different fruit. Yes, there's one fruit and it's with different characteristics, right? So it's, so you seeing that play out is actually the way it's supposed to be.
Right.
Right. Is that all these characteristics are supposed to work together when we're exhibiting the fruit, because that's the different characteristics of that one fruit, not different things.
In my mind, I'm thinking different aspects of it, but yeah.
I just want to make sure it's clear for our listeners. So we're not,
thank you for doing that.
We're not throwing different messages out there on Sunday morning and on the podcast. And we're,
I'll take it.
I mean, even preparing for it, it's so like evident that like, okay, yeah, I was preparing to share on patience. So easily you can start talking about other ones, mm-hmm. because they go hand in hand.
Yes, for sure.
And you can see how, and maybe some is easier than others, but you can see how when you know, experience one, it just naturally flows and you can experience the other ones. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I was like, okay, I need to, because then my mind started going too far, and I was like, no, okay, you just gotta focus on patience, and that's enough.
Yeah, so I think as we're talking about this and looking back in hindsight and in talking about with the Forge and this process of them learning how to pray, it kind of brings to mind this podcast that I've been listening to the past few days. Shout out to Olivia Wogan for sending it over. It's this podcast from this speaker who was speaking at a conference, and he's talking about kind of the overall theme is knowing your identity and hearing God's voice. And so one of the examples that he uses, it really resonated with me in terms of patience, because I think what happens with us in patience is, you know, we need to have patience a lot of times when we're going through a difficult situation, right? And so that's when we get to experience God's patience in our lives. So the speaker, he's trying to train different people to hear God's voice. And so one of the people that he comes across is actually, well, should we talk?
No, it's too complicated.
Okay, you can come talk to me about it later, or we'll put it in the show notes, and if you want to listen to the podcast. So anyway, it's this military guy that he's talking with, and the guy goes, I want to know if what you're saying is real. I want to know if what you're saying is real. And so the guy goes, okay, let's go talk about it. Why do you want to know what I'm saying is real? And he goes, well, I've been going through this difficult situation, and I want to know why. And I keep asking the Lord, why? Why am I going through this situation? I want to know what's going on. Why? And I'm not hearing anything. So I kind of don't think that what you're saying is real. Like, you keep saying God wants to talk to me, and I keep hearing nothing. And so the speaker goes, you know, maybe you're asking the wrong question. You know, a lot of times we want to know why, but you're a military man, right? And he goes, yeah, I'm a military man. He goes, well, if your commanding officer told you, I want you to do this, would you ask him why? He's like, I'd never ask that. I'd never ask that. In the military, you'd never say that. So he goes, okay, well, what questions would you ask him then? He goes, well, I would ask him, what do I need to know right now? And what am I supposed to do about it? So he goes, okay, instead of asking God why don't you go and you ask the Lord, what do I need to know right now? And what do you want me to do about it? He goes, okay, I could try that. So then he comes back a few minutes later, and he goes, all right, I got it. And then they never had that conversation again. And then he comes back years later, and he goes, hey, you know, that situation, it worked itself out. And it's all because of that one night when you told me to ask the Lord, what do I need to know and what do you want me to do about it? Mm-hmm. And so I think that's, for us, that was, for at least for me, when I heard that, I was like, wow, like that's a totally different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times, right, when we go through difficulty, why am I struggling with this? Or why do I have to go through this? And sometimes maybe we need to ask a different question. And instead of asking why, it's, hey, God, what do I need to know right now?
Mm-hmm.
And what steps or what things do I need to do right now? Mm-hmm. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I think that's an awesome story. And I mean, I definitely could not be a military person because I'm always asking why. So I'd get myself in trouble. But I think that was the thing that even changed in my message, was like, it's more about like when God tells us to renew our minds daily, it's even like renewing our minds in how we look at like something like patience,
mm-hmm.
right? Like the whole idea that I felt God convict me of was like, it needs to be an active like opportunity. And not like an active opportunity of like, oh, this is my time to gain something. Mm-hmm. But like, when I think of patience, or I think of struggling patience, I just think of like you're just not willing to, like when I think of myself, I do not like waiting in long lines or like traffic. That's like, for some reason, it just gets under my skin. And I'm like, I don't understand it. And like, it's just ridiculous to me.
Yeah.
So it's like in that moment, like that's what I picture.
Yeah.
But then it's like, is that the picture that God wants when we're in the waiting? Mm. And I mean, I got a resounding no, but it's well, okay, how are we supposed to, even in the waiting, how are we supposed to get there where it is different, or if it feels different or it looks different? And so I hope the things that God gave me, it was clear enough and I'm sure it's challenging, but I hope it was clear enough for our congregation to be encouraged to try to look at it in that way. Mm-hmm. And like I shared there's so many people that I've had the privilege and I'm very thankful that in the past, I want to say like year, I've been able to walk with different people in seasons where I'm like, I don't know if anybody has, I don't think anybody has the answers to any of this, mm-hmm. right? We can help, we can pray. And you know, there's been long seasons of waiting. And so for me, a lot of those people were very close to my heart. And I was thinking of them in preparing, like whatever I'm saying, not that I was catering it to them, but whatever I'm saying, like them hearing it, are they going to take it and be able to say like, or even ask themselves like, am I doing this? Or are they going to be like, he doesn't get it. He doesn't understand. He's just, you know, like I don't want to be ignorant, I guess, mm-hmm. to those things. Right. And so I think that was one of the personally most challenging parts of preparing was like, I don't want to just sound like I'm talking and up there like, this is what you need to do. This is what we, because the reality of a lot of life and situations, it's not that simple, but are we able to help connect people at a place where my heart was just, can I help be a place to help connect people where they're able to even go to God in those areas?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I hear you share that, it makes me think of, you know, patience during things that are short-lived, it's different than things that are ongoing and perpetual.
Mm.
And then it makes me think of the balance or maybe even the tension between patience and perseverance.
Mm.
Because sometimes it's pushing through mm-hmm. and it's not like self-will, but there's like an active pushing mm-hmm. and you have to like get yourself through it versus still being patient in that process, because they need you. Can if you don't have the patience aspect while you're persevering, then it turns into self-will, it turns into mm-hmm. striving, or mm-hmm. so they kind of go hand in hand. But also, so in our family, we've had a ton of medical things in the last 6 weeks or so,
mm-hmm.
and so for me that's a short-lived thing now because they're mostly coming to an end.
Mm.
And so did I have that much patience? Sometimes I did, but I also was just sometimes just waiting for it to end and just, okay, I just got to push through and just, it'll come to an end. But then what about those seasons where those things, it seems like they're coming to an end, but then they don't. And then you get like a just perpetual, you know, thing that you're in cycle. And then that's, for me, that's like, oh, that takes patience.
Because
the short-lived one, I can manage, I can do it. But I felt at the end of our thing, I was depleted. I was like, so that showed me too that, oh, I was doing it from myself in some ways, just trying to manage and try to push through, that I also, my flesh was trying to just do it. And so there's a difference, I think, where you feel a lightening of the load. And not, so I think there was a balance, there was some of both, but I felt like, oh yeah, I definitely was trying to do some parts of it on my own. So.
And I think that's why patience is included as part of the fruit of the Spirit, mm-hmm. because what Paul's trying to do is he's trying to show us there's a way to be patient in the will, right, and in the natural, but then there's the way to be patient in the Spirit,
right,
mm-hmm. and he wants to point us to that type of patience where we're relying on the Lord and it's coming out of us as opposed to just the willpower aspect of
it. Right. Yeah, the other word, you guys can give some feedback too on the, it's kind of like delayed gratification,
mm-hmm.
right? So patience, it has an aspect of that, but some of that too is, it can be will-based, like, oh, I can sacrifice and I can do it out of the strength of my will versus, no, it's not the right timing from the Lord yet. Like it's there's a different viewpoint and maybe a different characteristic there. And I reason I bring that up is because with my kids, we talk about that kind of stuff, delayed gratification, because they're growing up in a culture where that's foreign. That's, you shouldn't pursue that. It should be whatever you can get now. And in a lot of the ways they're struggling, it's easy for me. It's like, come on, that delayed gratification. But then there's certain things that I wrestle with. It's like, yeah, like it, the delayed gratification aspect is different for me as an adult. It's more mature. And there are certain areas like, oh, yeah, I still have my areas where I have to address that. And they don't see those yet. But their stuff, I'm like, come on, that's easy. And then it's like, oh, shoot, I got my own areas too.
Yeah, when I saw the definition of patience.
Oh, yeah, that was good when you put those different ones like, up there.
So when God talks about patience, like to be able to do that is so difficult. And so I think definitely that's where like we need God in it.
And I think what Brett is referring to for those that weren't there is as part of the definition, it's the waiting aspect, but it's also waiting without complaining or grumbling.
Yeah. Or letting it annoy you. Or I was just like, oh my gosh, like, come on.
So it's kind of funny too. So on my trip to Portugal, I was with a big group, and one of the people we were going around and we're trying to encourage each other, right? So someone said, "I think Damon, you're a really patient person," right? So I was feeling good about myself, and then Brett puts the definition up on Sunday. I was like, "Oh, they don't know the real. They don't know what's really going on because a lot of I might be willing to wait, but I'm complaining a lot
inside."
Yeah.
And when I was, you know, I had a bunch of different thoughts of like, okay, how do I kind of, what angle do I take on this? Some of the ones I didn't include was like, sometimes we base our patience off of like the reward or we try to gauge, is it worth it? I know, yeah. I do that. Like
no,
with everything.
Totally. That's a big thing.
I'm always like, if it's worth it. Cause you're like, oh, okay, I can wait for 3 weeks. But if it's like, if I had to go through this for another month,
yeah.
There's no way, right? Yeah, and we already counted out. Or, okay, I can wait for it and wait to this point, and then if not, forget about it, right? Yep. There's all those things where we, like, in a certain way, we almost, well, we do take it just upon ourselves and limit, I only have this much patience. Mm-hmm. And so I think there is that difference of, okay, if we allow God or we seek God or press into God in this, maybe actually we can, you know, wait longer, or we're able to be, you know, experience maybe peace, joy, you know, those other attributes in that time. It's just from our worldly and fleshly desire to wait, yeah, it's not going to be that long. And I think that's probably natural. Like nobody wants to, I'll just wait 7 years until this happens, or I'll just wait until, you know, it's like, no one's like, yay, I get to do that. But I do think that perspective or that shift is like, okay, maybe I will have to wait that long. But in that waiting, it's asking the question, what the sergeant had, right? Like, God, what do I need to know now? What do you want me to do? Am I going to maybe grow in all these other areas? And then I'm going to get to that point and I'll see that it's worth it. Because oftentimes too, like hindsight, we look back and we always say, oh, I wouldn't have done it any other way. Sometimes I'm thinking, no way. I would have done it way different. Are you kidding me? Like, this is a nice thing to say, nice sentiment. And a lot of times I can see that. But other times I'm like, heck no. I would have done it a completely different way. Right. But I think the thing about it is when we get to like the after part and we're able to look back, we're able to see the ways that God worked through it. But it's I think, shifting our mind or trying to be in a place where in the midst of going through it, can we see how God is still working in it? And I think that's, obviously it's hard, and I'm not saying I got it down, but I feel like that was the perspective of like, if we only are able to see it after the fact, like I still think that's great, but just imagine if we could see how God is working or the things that he is doing now and not having to worry about what we're waiting for necessarily. Like I can't imagine what that change would do in that time that we're waiting, or in that time that we're, you know, in the difficult situation or having to deal with someone or whatever it might be. And I think the other thing too is the hard thing about patience, I was telling my dad, I was like, you kind of just have to do it. Right, like you can't, like I was trying to explain it, and I don't know if I fully had it figured out. But like when it comes to like joy, there's other things that could bring you joy, right? And the things that the Lord brings you could bring you joy. But patience, it's like there's kind of only one way around it. Like to be patient is to be patient. And so you kind of got to go through it. And the other thing is like being patient doesn't change your circumstance, but it can change like how or who you are or your perspective in the circumstance. And that's probably the hardest part, right? Because when we feel like, okay, I'm doing a good job of being patient. Okay, where is it now? Like I did it, but it doesn't always work that way. And so how can we have that peace, that joy, all, you know, the other attributes in the times that we are waiting? And I mean, for me, that's a constant, you know, I gave the example of what, you know, as soon as you do one of those shoulder shrugs or those, you're just like, you're not being patient inside.
Yeah,
like
yeah, totally.
That's me all the time. Like, okay, I guess I'm going to have to, you know, and that's part of that surrender too, where you're just like, all right, throw your hands up in the air and say, it is what it is type of thing.
Yeah. No, I think when you were sharing, especially like it's not worth it. Like, I can do it for 3 weeks, but if it's 6 weeks, no, that's not, I can't be paid. but I think that's interesting because, I mean, to go a little more analytical, it's like a cost benefit, right? Mm-hmm. Analysis. It's like, oh, the cost is 3 weeks. Oh yeah, that's worth it. Oh, but 6 weeks? No, that's not worth it. I'm not going to do it. But then you're only looking at the end goal or like the thing that you're going towards and you're discounting the journey has value as well. So you're thinking of, oh, just to get to that outcome I want, that's worth 3 weeks, but not 6 weeks. But then if you know in the six weeks, all of the character, right, Brett, it builds character.
Yep.
All of the character and the other fruit that get to come out or the other things you get to experience and develop has a benefit as well. It's not just that. So it's like the journey and destination thing. It's like the patience is on the journey, but that's not the destination.
Yeah, yeah.
And so if you only value the destination, then you're going to think, oh, yeah, it's only worth this much, so I'm not going to pursue it. And that's kind of like that delayed gratification thing.
Definitely.
It seems like we're always about the thing we're trying to get to. Well, it's not worth the cost. If, you know, at a certain point, it's like, nah, that's too much. It's too much that they're asking of me. It's not worth it, right?
Yeah, I told my mom so many times that the character that I was building, I said, if I gotta go through this or wait for it, like I don't want it then. Like the world or God can keep it.
They were in the audience on Sunday. I was waiting for you to bring up something about character, man. I was waiting. You were primed. You could.
I did give them both a shout out, but
yeah.
When it's like, okay, you're just, I'm like, you can keep that patience then. I don't want it, but yeah.
No, and that's really like our society, we don't value character or we don't value it high enough. Like that stuff is super valuable, but it looks like, cause it's the long game. It's the long view. It's going to pay off in years later and in decades later in your character and your interactions. Whereas I just want what I want now. I want to get the short-term reward and I'm not worried about the long-term.
As you're talking about character and the values in our society, I think that's so important for us as a church to continue to pursue and build these character things, because as God is moving us towards becoming the city on a hill, it's going to show how different it is to live with God than in the world, right? Because if the world doesn't value these characteristics and, you know, moral character and moral fiber the way that it used to, then that's going to just show how different it is for us to follow the Lord. Right. And that's going to be something that's, wow, there's something different about those people. They're very different than what we experience outside of this church. And there's something that I want there. Right. And so I think that that's an encouragement for us to continue to pursue patience or just the fruit of the Spirit or just burning brighter, all of these different things that we're trying to pursue as a church and, you know, going deeper in our faith. That's why we're offering these different classes and different things so that we can hear the Lord better, so that we can step into more of who God wants us to be in our identity, so that, you know, as the city on a hill, people are looking at us and saying, wow, I want what they have. I want that. Not knowing the difficult things that we had to go through to get there, but just seeing there's something that I want that they have to offer.
And I think, you know, I think we're probably coming to a close in this episode, but then to circle it back towards Brett, like, that's what's cool about you incorporating the Forge on Sunday, is that that's helping to shape them for that long-term view of like, hey, yeah, this, we might fumble it a little bit. We might not be perfect, but this is you stepping into the types of things that, that God wants for you and has for you. And like, even like Cameron's response, like I can pretty much guarantee 2 years ago, he wouldn't have said something like that. I know him and I know where he's and how he's grown. And for you to share that, I'm like, dude, that's sweet. That's cool that he's an eighth grader now. So it's like, hey, he's ready to move on to be high school. But that's him as a leader, as the older kid in that group. And that had an impact on those younger ones. It's like, oh, yeah, that gave me courage. And I can do that for others, too. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, the last two things that came to mind that I forgot to share was, I think patience, the other thing why it's difficult and like worldly values is it's not convenient, or we don't view it as convenient. But then when you translate that to like following God, it's not always going to be convenient.
Right, right.
And it's not just the most efficient. It's not, you know, all those things that the world probably wants us to focus on or they promote.
Yeah.
It's going to be countercultural to a certain degree. And the last thing is I forgot to plug when, and during the application part is like getting prayer for some of those things, the things that are restricting us or the things that we have a hard time letting control of or surrender to even enter into a place where we're willing to meet God in those places. I was going to encourage people to go ask for prayer, go talk to somebody about it, because like,
absolutely,
if you feel like you can't get to that destination, sometimes there's things that we don't even know is holding us back, right? And so I was just going to encourage people, like, go talk to somebody, go get prayer, go, you know, bring some of those things out of the dark into the light. Or by just talking to someone, you might not even know that there's something that's kind of hindering you from being able to step into something, or from being able to see something. You might be blinded in a certain spot. And so I just want to encourage everybody that it's easiest to try to create distance, or it feels safer when we don't press into some of those things. But I think part of that is too the enemy wanting us to not deal with that. And so like, I know when it comes to loss, when it comes to trials, when it comes to dealing with other people, we do need to have a healthy boundary and sometimes give ourselves space. But I think those are the areas where it's like, you got to just press and dive into the Lord, like even harder, even more, because it's not going to just get better. A lot of times it's not just going to get better. Maybe it kind of disappears, but like, God's really the one that changes and works those things for good. It's not always going to just play out to your benefit, or all of a sudden now things are just better. But the more we can press and dive into it, it may be difficult, but I think that's that part of the journey where in the end, the reward, like what Jesus has for you, is better than anything else.
Amen.
And to follow up with that too, I think one of the things that patience helps us to bring out is actually connection. Because in the times where we're waiting, it's an opportunity for us to seek the Lord, right? In ways that we might not do if everything was going the way that we wanted it to go, right? There's a different depth to it. Or it's another time where we can cling to our friends, our family, because as we're waiting, as we're going through a difficult time together, it's hard to do that by yourself, right? Mm-hmm. And so we can cling to them in a different way. So sometimes when we're thinking about it, it's like patience, it's hard. We want the comfort. We want the instant gratification. We want it now. But what if God wants something for us that's deeper, that's a deeper connection with him, or a deeper connection with the people around us, right? Mm-hmm. And that's something that we can gain during those difficult seasons that would be, we wouldn't get there if everything was going well all the time. Not to say that we need that or it's good, but just to have that perspective of there's an opportunity for us to grow in our connection with the Lord and with others in the times where we're waiting too.
Yeah, it's just one little comment. When you said that, it's, oh man, now I just lost my train of thought. I hate when that happens. I'm going to keep it short. And then once I started saying that, I'm like, I guess it wasn't worth it. Maybe it'll come back.
All right. Well, thanks to all of our listeners for being patient with us and waiting 2 weeks for this episode to come out.
I got it. See, I knew it would come back. No, it's really about the counterculture of being slowing down. Yeah. In our culture, slow is bad. Like when you slow down, you're not being efficient. You can maximize more. So sometimes when God wants us, or he's kind of bringing those things that cause us to step into patience, it's sometimes we just need to slow down. Mm. And we need to embrace that. That's actually a good thing sometimes. And that's for our whole body. So, yeah.
All right. Well, thanks again to everyone for being patient with us, even when we're
losing our train of thought
and coming back at it as we're trying to close up or anything and waiting 2 weeks for this episode. So, you know, just really appreciate Brett and the time and effort that he put into leading this service, and as well as leading the Forge and helping to build them up. You know, you never know. One of them might be one of the pastors in the future preaching to tons of people and saying they got their start in a multi-gen service because Uncle Brett had them stand in front of the service and say something. So,
well, I'm hoping at least one of them wants to come and do middle school ministry. So I'm not doing it forever.
So shout out to the Forge. You guys are doing a great job. We're very proud of you. Until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.